183 weeks of us bringing you all the stories that Microsoft is pinging each other about, all the news that you want to hear about, and we got some really great comments on our episode last week, episode 182, first of which we need to comment was on your shirt.
Who knew?
My favorite comment was by Ryan R., because your shirt was awfully bright. Go back and watch the episode if you haven't seen it yet. You might need sunglasses. Says he had a residual image of your bright orange shirt when he closed his eyes, as though he'd been staring at the sun. So I love that. And so in honor of that comment, you decided to go ahead and wear orange again.
It's just a coincidence.
Is it really just a coincidence?
Maybe.
Same little birdie logo. Lucky if you can figure out which brand that actually is. Don't tell him, Mark. But lacking the collar, so I see that you've become less formal and you think that this
was
more
slide
casual
it in.
Atmosphere.
I was going to slide it in. You know, I went with the collar the first 2 weeks.
Right.
And then I switched. It's like Uno. You can stick with the numbers or you can like switch by colors.
See, I thought it was more like you first show up dressed to impress and then you've been here a few times. You're like, screw it. Laura just gets a t-shirt.
It's a lot like Microsoft in general.
Exactly.
You interview in a suit and then
right.
buy
and then
like your four, you're in flip-flops. Yeah.
There you go.
Shorts.
We had a lot of comments about the spying, which we're actually going to do a follow-up story on today, so I'm going to hold that zip it for now. Somebody noticed that LauraFoy.com was available, Dave DBMA, and then all of a sudden Nick C. said, not anymore. So he took it.
Well, at least now you know
but
who.
But I thought we looked, and it wasn't available.
I thought .com was taken, but there's just nothing up on it.
Right.
So the domain is registered, and .net and .org were available.
Right.
So right. Who knows? I haven't checked since last week.
I don't know. But, I don't know.
Well, if you really do have it, post in the comments.
Yeah, post in the comments, or just give it to me, or make it a website, something that preferably, like, generates income for me. Which would be best. Play some ads up there. I'll sell out. I'm fine with that. Anyway, should we start the show?
Let's start it.
Let's do it, Mark. All right, everybody. So making its ways around the internet is an absolutely heartwarming, bring a little tear to my eyes story about this 97-year-old man named Hal Lasko. And he has a vision problem. It's wet something.
Macular degeneration.
Yes, which essentially makes the center of his vision blurry and degenerate, and the exterior still sort of see. He's basically blind, and yet he is using Microsoft Paint to create what has to be called beautiful, amazing pieces of artwork here.
Art, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, unbelievable. And I've fiddled around with Microsoft Paint, and I consider it, you know, for someone who's like played with some of the more advanced programs, you know, like Photoshop and whatnot, you know, it's very simple.
Yeah.
But the things that this man does, he calls himself the Pixel Painter. Unbelievable stuff. Have you looked at it?
Yeah, I have. So he was a typographer by trade for years. So he had spent most of his life doing very detailed drawing and things like that.
Yeah.
He
created fonts.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I mean, so he has a knack for this.
Do you know I do a lot of my painting with my eyes shut? I've jumped up out of bed and went to the computer to see if I could do what I dreamed I could do.
But his son bought him a computer about 15 years ago when his eyesight started deteriorating, and what he can do is magnify in so close that he can do it by detail.
Right.
Much like I'd imagine you'd probably do with typography.
And I'm watching this video. There's a video. There's a couple articles. Huffington Post did something. Gizmodo did something. And I'm watching, and he literally goes in and pixel by pixel and chooses the color. Like, I've done some, like, photo retouching where, you know, where you go in and you take out a wrinkle here or something like that, you know? And that, to me, is painstaking. And I need to use, like, the rubber stamp tool in Photoshop because I don't want to go pixel by pixel. That's too slow and tedious. This guy does it, and he even says if it takes him 2 years... He's got 2 years. He's like, one thing
whatever.
I have is patience.
Yes.
And the type of art is really, for me, I find that it's interesting that I find it so appealing to look at, because normally you look at something and you don't want to see each individual pixel. You kind of want it smooth and blurred. At least that's what I'm usually drawn to. But especially in some of his tree drawings, pieces, he calls them paintings. I don't really know what to call them.
Bitmaps.
Yeah, I mean, it's so detailed. It's the type of thing where you would stand 10 feet away and you would no longer see each individual picture. So it's absolutely amazing. And he's using a program that is free. For everyone can have it. Everyone can go in and use it. And it's just a heartwarming story. His family even says that... Sorry, I get choked up. His family says that he guesses he's got an art studio downstairs in his basement, and they don't like to go downstairs because the grandpa, they call him grandpa, grandpa likes to talk about his art so much that they'll be sucked in there for hours. And, like, nobody, they're like, yeah, yeah, grandpa, no, I'm so busy, I can't go downstairs because, you know, it just sits there.
I mean,
like,
that's your
output.
Let me
show you what I'm working on now.
Yeah, when that's your output for most of your life, I mean, that's a pretty big deal. I mean, I think the biggest thing ever made is a favicon, which is like 40 by 40 pixels. So
yeah.
I can do that pixel by pixel.
Not very big.
Not exactly his whole animals and forestry and everything else he's done.
Yeah, he's got tons of paintings. You should check him out. He says pretty much this is all he does now, which I guess in 97, I mean, what else are you going to do?
Yeah.
You know, you're not going to go climbing.
I know. No, I was mentioning to Laura before that there's an entire subreddit on Reddit about MS Paint and paintings people have made, and I went to go check it out, and of course, number one story, Alaska.
Yeah, it's cool. I mean, I've, of course, been using Fresh Paint now, like the Windows 8 app, which is so cool, and you can make the wet paint and dry it and pick the canvas and all this stuff, but you think back, you know, really all you need is a couple little square pixels, boom, some talent, and a whole lot of patience. All right, so the big headline coming from the Xbox team, Xbox One department this week, is that they're going to let developers, independent developers, develop games and publish onto the Xbox One console. And in this, they get access to all the sort of bells and whistles. They've got the Kinect, the cloud, achievements, everything. All available to you, the independent gamer, where originally it was referenced that they were going to have some sort of publisher
right.
to get onto the console, but now you don't need that. We are allowing independent developers to do this.
Yeah, much like we allowed on during the 360 generation, which I guess is now.
Right.
You can go and program via some of your most commonly used tools and actually put it right on the Xbox. I think the cool thing in this announcement is that you can just use your retail console. A lot of times you need an emulator or a dev kit or something additional. The same one you get in the store you're going to play all your games on is the one you can develop on. And to me, that's great for as a hobbyist. I'm never really going to probably publish anything.
Right. Why?
Because I have no time.
Right.
This job takes up most of it.
You need Halasco kind of time.
All of my, yeah.
I'm
going to have to take me 2 years to get, you know, Pong written. So, but the ability to go and run something on the console, even if it's just for myself, that's really enticing just for me.
That's pretty cool. Now, here's my question, though. So it says you can every game and experience, and this is official Mark Whitten from Microsoft. Vice Corporate President of Microsoft, of Xbox, sorry. He says that every game and experience can take advantage of all the features of Xbox One and Xbox Live. So does that mean that if I publish a game, it now has the little Xbox Live along the side of it? And because one of the things, you know, doing as much app coverage as I do, especially Windows Phone, sort of the way I determine whether or not this game is going to be good or bad.
Well, for me,
is if it's got the Xbox Live bar. It's like, okay, now you are Xbox Live quality.
Yeah.
You're going to be of a better standard than just something, and, you know, not always. There's exceptions to every rule, but from, you know, an independent
right. There's
publisher.
Been kind of more of a gate master.
Some sort of a vetting process.
Kind of,
yeah. And now I don't know if that's going to be gone, which makes me nervous.
Well, no, I mean, I think that the way we did things previously and the way things are done now, I mean, there's rating systems, there's community kind of feedback and stuff like that.
True.
What I'm more interested in is achievements. Does that mean they're all going to have achievements? Because
That's what it says.
That's what I want to have.
So that means that you, the independent game developer, would need to program in those achievements.
Yeah.
Right?
Right, and there's a common API for that, so I imagine they can hook up and do that as well. I'm assuming that would have some vetting process. Otherwise, you
That's
have people
true.
Submitting hundreds of games where it's press A to get 200 points.
Right.
Or if you're going to let that, out for my new games coming out.
I'd have Mad Chivo's B-Box, Real B-Box 360 style all up in here. Or B-Boy.
Real B-Boy.
Sorry. 360. Sorry, he's going to get offended if he's watching.
Yeah.
Anyway, if you're an independent game developer, this is awesome for you. And like Mark said, you just start developing with the Xbox One console, retail version, good to go.
Yeah, more information coming from Gamescom in Germany in August.
I want to go to Gamescom in Germany.
Let's go.
So as I talked about earlier, I deal with a lot of apps in my day in and day out life, partially for my pleasure, partially for my job. So I'm constantly dealing with apps. And in that, I come across sometimes some really cool apps that aren't available on the Windows Phone. And I'm always like, this is a bummer,
you know? No, it is.
You know, but it does happen. And I've actually one time, there was something, and I can't remember what it was. I found the writer of it on Facebook. And I went and I sent him a message and I said, will you please develop this with a Windows Phone? And he writes back, oh, it's in our long-term prospects, but nothing wrong. You know, the same thing I always get.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, okay, but at least I like nudged him a little and I was like, maybe I'll get this app on the Windows Phone. Apparently, Microsoft stole my idea. And they created a new app called Where's My App, where if you can actually go in and request. Wait, let's start from the beginning of how this works. So you do a search
for
an app.
You search for an app that you know exists elsewhere.
So let's say look up Instagram.
Instagram, yeah, right. is a good.
We don't have Instagram on the Windows Phone yet.
But we do have some third-party clients that use the same APIs and let you use it. So Snapchat and other things like that also have the same ones. We have SwapChat. We have Instance for Instagram. For Vine, we have 6 Seconds, I believe is it called. And some of those official apps are coming. But for the ones that aren't or you're not sure, use this app. You go and search for it. So let's say you search for Instagram. It'll come back with WPGram and Instance, so the ones that do exist already on our phone. So in case you don't know what it's called or if there is a similar version, it has it in there.
That's great. And then along with that, along with telling you, hey, we don't have this, but here's some stuff you may enjoy because there's, you know, similar, you can send a note, right, to the person.
To the devs, yeah.
Now, in the headline, which I don't really like, they call it begging. Although I'm not above begging, I frequently beg. I mean, nightly.
Stop the program!
But it, you know, request is what you called it.
Request.
You can request the
app. Poke the dev.
Just poke them. You can request the app, and it sends the request to app developers, encourage them to develop for Windows Phone.
Yeah.
Look at that.
Yeah.
Now, you're a developer guy.
I am.
Suppose you were writing for another platform, and you got, you know, let's say 10 requests that really want you to develop for Windows Phone.
Yeah.
Would it sway your decision?
I mean, I think getting user feedback is exactly what sways your decision. I don't know what the number would be, but yeah, I mean, that's what you want to get your app into users' hands, whether it's for monetization or getting your name out or promoting something. So yeah, I mean, if people want your stuff, then yeah.
Especially after you learned how easy it is to port apps.
Absolutely. I think we have some series about that.
So there you go. I'm just saying. So it's called Where's My App?
Peace.
All right, so I do a lot of work with phones. And one of the coolest apps that I've come across recently, we talked about it, I think, actually, for the Windows Phone, is this Blink app, where it actually, if you're trying to take an action shot of dogs running, you know, a single shot might be blurry, but you take the Blink app and rapid fire shooting. So I love that. But still I have the problem, if I'm not using that lens, sometimes I get a blurry shot with my phone. I'm not going to tell you what kind of phone I'm using, but let's just say that I'm not thrilled exactly with the camera phone on my particular device.
Got it.
Well, apparently, I need to upgrade to the Nokia 1020 because they are saying that this is the best smartphone camera ever, right?
They did say best. This is best smartphone camera. And when you look at it, it's got this little ring on the back that looks kind of like your camera lens. It is the camera lens in there.
Yeah, it's starting to look more like a traditional point and
shoot. Yeah, this is, I think, like the merger there between, like, look, it's a camera that you're carrying around all the time that happens to have internet and you know, data and filters and apps and all the stuff to play with. So.
I mean, I think about what I use my camera, my phone for the most, and obviously email would be number one. I would go email, texting, and then camera.
Probably.
Right?
I play a little Puzzle Quest.
Well, I play a little Words by Post, all the time. I probably, that would go up to number one above email now that I think about it. But anyway, the camera's up there in the top five. And, you know, we've done amazing work with our phones, cameras, and low lights. And we've done amazing work, you know, in terms of our zoom ability. I mean, this camera, this picture that you get on this phone, you can literally zoom in as though it was one of those. You remember, like, years ago, they took those pictures and you could just keep zooming and zooming and zooming. This is like that!
Yeah, no, there was a picture someone posted on Reddit recently that was a picture of a flower and then zoomed in to a bee and you can see the individual hairs on the bee.
From a
1020, yeah.
Oh my god!
Yeah, it was a pretty neat photo and what it can do. There's one accessory for it which is really cool too. There's a camera grip that you can attach on.
You mean like a Steadicam?
No, like, you know how a lot of cameras have kind of the little bulge in the front you can kind of hold on to?
Yeah.
So it's that, and what it does is gives you a bigger shutter button, and it's an extra battery that uses first. So you can charge it on there, get a couple extra hours of photo work done, because your camera probably will drain your battery if you're going to be using it for a couple hours.
Right. Like that. But that's genius. I love that. Because, you know, when I go on, let's say, vacation, obviously bring my phone, but I always bring my camera.
Yeah, and I stopped doing that.
If I didn't have to do that.
Yeah. When I go on family vacations with the whole family and all the little kids and everything, my nieces and nephews, I'll bring my SLR, my DSLR. But if I'm just doing something else, anything other than that, I'm not going to carry that all around.
Right, but imagine the day where you don't need to bring the DSLR.
I don't think you do.
There you go. With this.
But this is getting there. I mean, it's 40-something megapixel images. They're incredibly crisp. Nokia has some fantastic lenses and stuff in there for After Effects. It's
I really am excited about their focus on the camera. And it's something that would really make me buy a phone. You know, we've talked so many times in years past about different new features that the phones are coming out with, and everyone always gets very excited about different things. This is something for me that is a deal maker, where that would maybe persuade me to really go get that phone.
Absolutely.
You know, so there we go. It's called the Nokia 1020. Get it. All right, everybody, that wraps up this week. Thank you, Mark, for joining us in your orange shirt. You know, back in the day when Ping started, like years and years ago, I used to call Paul or what was the other guy's name? Max, right? Max. I used to call them in the morning and be like, okay, today we're wearing blue. Today we're wearing green.
Really?
We coordinate. Go back and watch early episodes. We're always wearing the same color because I thought it was going to be so like cool and trendy. So maybe the thing now is you just wear orange every week. We'll have to start supplying with you with some wardrobe.
That'd be fantastic.
I don't think you have
we get expensive. I don't have. I have enough for a couple more shows, but if, you know.
Or maybe just really bright, obnoxious colors
that
require sunglasses. I don't know. We'll have to think about it. Feel free to chime in on the important subject. It is Mark's wardrobe. And we had mentioned we were going to talk about the spying issue, but we're not. We're not, because we're just not. And because I'd like to keep my job. In the meantime, follow me on Twitter, @ElfBoy.
@ Mark Falco.
All right, peace out.